in with someone, now that I'm a Christian, I like that lesson or that group of lessons. But I felt like there was more that needed to be added to that. And, of course, brethren have written a lot of different things over the years. And I stole this lesson and put this whole group together of about 13 lessons and translated it. And this was one of them that I added to that from that brethren had done years ago. And I think it's a really good lesson talking about what we do as children of God, as sharing the word of God with other people. Each one reach one and teach one. Now that I have obeyed the gospel, okay, I'm a faithful member of the local church. I need to be impressed with the great opportunity and the responsibility I have to teach another person the wonderful truth that I have learned. God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Now, how will this happen? How is this going to come about? Well, we know what the Bible is all about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even as we read the Old Testament, it's about the coming Messiah and how God would save people from their sins. And the gospel, we recognize, is God's power unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, 17. Paul writes there and says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul writes there, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. It is by the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that men and women are saved. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 24, the Bible there reads, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Obviously, when we look at what God says and we believe it, we take it to heart, we trust in what God says, we understand by faith, yes, absolutely, it is the power of God. And as we accept that, we should also want to share it with others, the wonderful, great news about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. How can men and women be saved? And as we look at that and consider the gospel message, the question is basically, and the solution, am I part of the answer to that question? Am I? Christ wants me to share the gospel, to teach the gospel to other people. And that was the passage we began this morning, did we not? In Matthew 28, in verse 18 through 20, where Jesus says to his disciples, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Thus that great commission is passed down to baptized believers, to you and to I, brethren. Often when we talk about evangelism and preaching the word of God, many, and you may be thinking, well, it's about preaching a sermon. And no, it's not. That's not necessarily the right way to think. Think of evangelism this way. It's about sharing the word of God with other people. It's about sharing the word of God to other individuals. You know, I don't like the idea when a mother and father, grandparents are talking to the children and grandchildren, and the children think, well, you're preaching a lesson at me. And sometimes it kind of comes off that way.
I guess. But really, it's the idea of sharing the Word of God, showing them the truth also. And we need to have that concept to want to share, to show people the truth. When something good happens to us, what do we do with it? We share it with other people. We share the good news that we have with other people. To evangelize is to announce good news, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, meaning to declare, to bring, to show. And what we show is the glad tidings, or to preach the gospel. Christians, you and I, faithful children of God, should want to share the good news of Christ, the gospel, that is, with other people. In the first century, Christians, wherever they went, taught the word of God to others, even in the face of persecution. Again, back to the passage that we looked at this morning in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. The children of God, saints, were scattered. And these people, we read within the context, were men and women, people like you and me, children of God. Paul spoke of brethren who were bold to speak the word without fear in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 14. As a child of God, I am to be, and like all faithful Christians, we are to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and verse 16. That is our lot in life as children of God. We've received the light of the gospel into our lives, and we are to show that, to share that with others. Every one of us can be involved in the great work of evangelizing, or that is, sharing the word with others. So then, each of us can work to reach and to teach. And that is our job. That is our privilege, if you will. I don't necessarily like the idea of a job. I like the idea of a privilege. We receive some great, wonderful news. We have received great blessings from God. Should we not want to share that with others? Think of the Word of God as food, the physical food. Someone fixes a nice plate of food and a nice dinner and all of that. They want to share, and they show the hospitality. They want to share that with others. Why not the Word of God, the greatest food, the spiritual food of heaven? Why should we not want to share that with others? Now, there are several things we want to talk about. The first one is why. Why should I teach others? I think that's probably maybe a really basic question, but I think it's a fundamental question. Why should I teach others? Well, I think the main reason, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. Soul winning should be a natural part of our life. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 14, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. I would love to have an opportunity to speak on other topics, for example, like the resurrection. I think the resurrection is that topic, as the Word of God shows us, is the one theme of the Bible that ties all the other great themes of the Bible together. And without the resurrection, the meaning of the Word of God, the meaning of the death of Christ, none of these other subjects have that impact or that meaning, or why should I believe? It's about the resurrection. Not only the resurrection of Christ, but by faith in that great day when Christ returns for his faithful, and that all will then be judged. It is about the resurrection of all and being prepared for that day. That is the message, folks, of being ready for that great day. And we need to be ready now in this life for that great day. We share the Word of God because of our faith in God and our trust in him and in his Word. Spreading the gospel is not just a preacher responsibility. No, it is a responsibility of every Christian. I have a poster in my office that was drawn several years ago by a brother that every Christian is a gospel teacher. Every Christian is a gospel teacher. Yes, there may be particular forums and events, if you will, that certain people can teach where others may not, like in the pulpit. But think about it at home. Moms and dads, grandparents have opportunities to spread the word. We have our neighbors. We have our friends. We have all kinds of people away from the pulpit that we can talk to. And think about that in regard to our worship together, our singing together as we share the gospel message through song with one another to encourage one another. Oh, there's so many opportunities that we have to share the word of God. We must pray for laborers that there can be a harvest of souls. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. Matthew 9, verse 37, and he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." We, as children of God, need to develop whatever abilities that we have and use those abilities in sharing the gospel with others. It's not his job. It's not her job. It's my job. I need to think about what abilities do I have, and I need to use those abilities. Let us be aware that as individuals, we do possess different abilities. I am not Nathan, and thankful Nathan is not me. I'm not my wife. My wife's got her abilities. I wish that I could have some of her abilities, but she uses hers, and I need to use mine. We're different individuals. But let us recognize our talents, our abilities that we have, and utilize those abilities in the sharing of the gospel with others. But whatever we have, we need to use those. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 through verse 8. And this is a very interesting passage in this context. I think that sometimes we read over this, and I'm not so sure we understand it, and I wish we had time just to look at this passage, but read it with me. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Now we kind of stop there, because then we start talking about these differing gifts. Sometimes people kind of run right to spiritual gifts that may be talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I don't think that's what this is about at all. Notice with me. "Now then, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality." Notice those things that is there for you and I. Not everybody, again, can fill that pulpit, but there's things that we can do. There's things that we can do. "He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy." How many times do we live in this life where someone needs help of some sort? How many Christians are available that want to show help, assistance of some, just a kind word, just a cup of cold water, as the phrase goes, to help another? As the scripture there reads, "He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." With cheerfulness. The idea is being involved, getting ourselves involved, finding something that we're able to do and do it and be active in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact is, we all have a voice, do we not? And we all communicate with others. You believe that's a lie? Yeah, show me your cell phones and I'll show you who uses their voice. Every one of us talk. Every one of us is communicating in one form or another. We all have a voice, and we all can communicate. We all need to use our voices and communicate the will of God to others. The Word of God, in fact, should burn within us. We should want to share it with others. Now, I want to talk about sharing. Grandparents, let me tell you what. What do? Get pictures of grandchildren. We want to show it to everybody. Let me tell you, Robin. Whoa, let me tell you. There's a grandma that wants to show her pictures of her grandchildren. And I do too. We love to share pictures. There's things that we should love in this life and appreciate the good things in life and want to share them with others. How much more the salvation of Jesus Christ. Consider the passage. There are several passages here. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Job chapter 32. I think a lot of times we look at the book of Job and we kind of miss this a little bit in the last part of the book of Job. Job 32 verse 18. For I am full of words. The spirit within me compels me. Verse 20. I will speak that I may find relief. I must open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray, show partiality to anyone, nor let me flatter any man. Right there, brothers and sisters, we should have the attitude of Job. That we not show partiality, that we want to share the wonderful news to everybody. In Acts chapter 4, we remember as John, 1 John and Peter was thrown into prison for doing the miracle and preaching about Christ after that miracle, that the Sanhedrin didn't like what they were doing. The Jews kind of jumped on them and said, yeah, you can't be doing this, boys. And they said, look, at whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, sorry, fellas, you ain't going to stop us. We're going to tell it like it is. And then Acts 17, verse 16, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. And then we read that great lesson that he preached there at Mars Hill. Wow, what a lesson. He was moved. Wow, what a beautiful lesson to preach about deity, about God. Every Christian is expected by Christ to bear fruit. There is a fruit of the Spirit that I am to develop in my life as one of God's adopted children. And we talk about the fruit of the Spirit as we read there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And yes, these are great lessons, and we need to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit in our own life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And we need to add these virtues unto our life. And it's very important. And the scripture shows why. So that we are not unfruitful or barren. We need to grow and develop our faith in Christ, in the Word of God. And then also there is the fruit that is gained by leading other souls to Christ. I think we need to be balanced in this understanding of what is fruit. There's several different types of fruit, but it all must be developed within our life. It is impossible to teach the Word and share the Word of God with others if I am unfaithful. I must develop my life. I must develop my soul in such a way that I am able to teach properly to others. I must not be a hypocrite in what I share. People don't want to listen to hypocrites. They don't want that. So I must develop the fruits of the Spirit within my life so that I am also able to share the Word of God with others. Now, I understand this. This is we understand we fall short at times. But the point is we need to develop. If there's something amiss in our life, we need to make the corrections and move on in life. We've got to be better. We've got to grow to be more perfect each day. We'll never be perfect in the absolute sense, but we need to grow to be like the Heavenly Father is perfect, like Jesus teaches. And this is something that we must do. Each one of us must do. It's not that I preach it and say, you got to do it and you got to do it, and somehow I'm somehow absent from it. No. We all, including me. Again, there's a fruit that is gained by leading other souls to Christ. Think of John chapter 15 in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, where Jesus says there, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them to the fire, and they are burned. Verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. Verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. There's that passage in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that most of us probably know very well, probably have it memorized. The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Wow. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Notice verses 4 through 6. Paul writes there, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. Did you ever think about this? One of these things we can step back and think about. We talk about ancestors and, you know, past people that has connections. And a lot of people does genealogy. You ever think about what our genealogy in Christ Jesus is like? Who was it that taught whoever in past centuries to where we have heard the gospel and we have obeyed the gospel? Would you ever think about that? I know who baptized me and taught me as a kid. My parents, grandparents, and Brother Wayne Chapel, who lives in Alabama now, some of you may know. I know these things. Who was it that taught these? And who was it that taught them? How far back does it go? Which one of the apostles taught the truth to whoever in whatever church that somehow spread the gospel through the ages? And we receive the truth. It doesn't really matter. God gets the glory.
Amen.
God gets the glory. But the idea of the generations of people that was taught and the truth was given down through the centuries to where you and I have had the opportunity to receive the gospel and hear it and obey it and have the opportunity to share it with others. To me, that is just one of those things that you could just look up in the sky and look at the clouds and how they move, and just it's all inspiring to think about. The blessings that God has given down through the centuries where you and I have had that opportunity to hear it and to obey it. One of the greatest joys that we have ever had in this life is either hearing the gospel, preaching, and obeying it, and also having the opportunity to share the gospel with someone else, and that they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even to this day, when I see someone is converted, whether I've had a little part in it or I didn't, or some other brother or sister has helped to lead someone to Christ, is watching them make the good confession and be baptized in Christ. The tears still run down my face today. There's nothing more precious than seeing someone obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, it is Jesus who said, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Acts 11, verse 18, when the Christians in Jerusalem heard about the Gentile converts in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his house obey the gospel. The scripture reads there, when they heard these things, they become silent. And they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Wow. Acts chapter 15, after Paul, one of Paul's preaching trips and coming back toward to Jerusalem and Judea and being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. Just so many passages of Scripture that talks about these things. Do we have great joy in our hearts when seeing the conversion of others? When teaching another soul, I need to follow the example of Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Scripture there reads, Jesus said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus loved people. He loved the souls of people. He showed that great love by personally and individually teaching men and women. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I imitate Christ, or follow me as I follow Christ. We need to also have that same attitude to following the teachings of the apostles. We need to learn to follow Jesus and follow that blessed example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, in a different context about suffering and being faithful and not reviling evil for evil, we see the statement that is made, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And Jesus, as the master teacher, can teach us how to do personal work and how to share the word of God with others. I think maybe some of the greatest examples that is in the New Testament Bible story since we were little kids of him teaching the blind man, the one that was blind from birth, or his lesson with Mary and Martha and the subsequent resurrection of Lazarus. Wow. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, Scripture there reads, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. We need to have that same mind, that same mind which was also in Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 or 5. Christ commanded teaching as part of the Great Commission. Those who are taught and are baptized are to teach others. Again, I refer to the passage we read earlier in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. We find that we can't disregard the commandment. If we're going to be faithful to the child of God, we need to keep the commands. We need to understand what God wants from us. In James chapter 4, verse 17, the Scripture there reads, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Recognize to not share the word of God with others. Brethren, we've got a problem with the Lord here, and we need to recognize that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, interesting passage there from what Paul says. In verse 16 through verse 17, he says, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid on me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have reward. Think about that, folks. We need to have the same attitude of the early disciples of the Lord. John chapter 1, remember there in John 1 how the disciples of John was illuminated and hearing Jesus and seeing Jesus for the first time. We see that Andrew there in verse 41, John 1 verse 41, he first found his own brother Simon. He said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Wow. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. Come and see. Oh, wow. What a beautiful lesson there. I am to follow the example of the first century Christians. The church grew and the gospel spread because Christians went everywhere preaching the word. In good times and bad times, they preached the word. They shared the word of God with others. Early Christians had the desire to share the gospel with others. Notice the example of the apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll begin reading in verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And then in verse 20, Paul would write, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, we'll never be able to be ambassadors. Only the apostles were the ambassadors. But we sure can share what the ambassadors said about Jesus. We can show people the Lord Jesus, the crucified Lord, and the resurrected one. Think about this. Why share the gospel with others? It's about self-preservation. Think about it. Here we are in Monticello. And what's going to happen in the future? One of these days, we're all going to go to the grave. That's a fact. The cemetery is proven fact that people die all the time. Someday, brethren, family, friends will come to our funeral, look down in the casket, and say, oh, what a nice person. And they'll put us in the ground and we'll be growing up daisies. What's going to happen when the faithful few die out here? Is there going to be faithful few continuing? Is that word of God going to continue in this place? There are places in the world that the church does not exist any longer. Now, there may be many reasons for that. Okay? Think about Jerusalem. Think about Colossae. I'll use Colossae as an example. Why does the church of Colossae no exist? Well, possibly it was because of the volcanic activity in that area that the people moved away and went someplace else. There's many reasons. War, famine, all types of reasons. And there's some place, like we would read in the book of Revelation, that the church would just die because the people were unfaithful. Brothers and sisters, we have an opportunity to preserve good things that has happened here over the years for future generations. Self-preservation. Yes, teaching others is absolutely necessary to the growth and development of a child of God and to local congregations. Interest in spiritual things is maintained by constantly teaching others. True growth of the church is not by physical births, but by spiritual births. There's a lot of churches that basically church exists because it's family. And that scares me. I've seen places, probably heard of places, that someone goes unfaithful and the whole family follows them right on out of the meeting house and never darken the doors, if you will receive that expression ever again. What a shame. Their faith is it not in the Word of God, not in Christ. It is very interesting that in different places that I've had the ability to see a few little things. In Colombia in 1977, there was one man who received a Bible correspondence course when he was in prison here in the United States. He was a drug mule, a young man. He got a Bible correspondence course from a faithful church, faithful brethren, learned the truth, got expelled, thrown back out of the country to Colombia. He went down there and there was no Church of Christ as far as he could find in that country. That got people like Royce Chandler, Wayne Pertain, and others involved in going to Columbia to teach the gospel. And I told you the rest of that story today. It was interesting that the Church of Christ was in that country, but they were dead. And this was amongst the institutional brothers. They were up in Medellin and doing absolutely nothing. Nothing. We've seen the same things in Ecuador amongst those that call themselves Church of the Christ. Maybe one of the reasons that we had open doors open to us amongst the institutional brethren is because the institutional brethren weren't doing nothing. They weren't giving Bibles out to people. They weren't providing songbooks. They weren't helping no one. All they wanted to do was mark time. And there are faithful brethren now in those countries teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that want to listen. Self-preservation. Again, look at the passages we talked about. First Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 already. Let's look at another one in Acts chapter 26, verse 17 through 18. The scriptures there read, I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's two things right there that's impressive to me. The forgiveness of sins should be impressive to all of us. But the second one there, notice there, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. A place amongst the faithful. Wow. Wow. That is what we're talking about here. Self-preservation. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 through 15. Paul writes there, I am obligated both to Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. There are so many reasons why we need to teach the gospel. Other reasons, teaching others will cause me to develop better knowledge of the scriptures. And this is one that when I heard this as a young person, didn't impress me as much. Now that I've gotten older, I understand, I think, a little bit more of this particular passage. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, teaching will cause me to grow and to develop as a Christian. Notice this passage, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. And now notice, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Think about it. You're going to be asked questions. Someone's going to say this. And a lot of times some members of the church say they don't do personal work because they're afraid what they might be asked. Listen, don't be afraid what you're asked. Do the same thing that I did when I had my business. Someone wants me to build something or construct something, and I may not know how in this moment, but I never say no. I don't know how to do it. I'll spend the rest of the night trying to figure out how that's going to happen and start that project the next morning. If someone says, ask a question, don't be afraid to say, I need to study this a little bit better. I'll get back to you. There's nothing wrong with that. There are times that people ask questions that and causes me to have to scratch my head, and maybe that's why I've lost a little bit of hair. And I have to think about it, and I have to study on it. Sometimes I don't always have the best answer. I've had to contact older brethren and say, brother, I got a tough one here, and help me out with it. Back when I was younger, I had to ask my dad a lot of questions. Brethren, it is the development of ourselves. And as we grow, or as we teach and share the word, we're going to learn ourselves more of the word of God. Now, you might liken this particular text to a circle, if you will. We start with knowledge, and as development of the Christian walk and bearing fruit, we come back to knowledge. Some brethren like the idea of a spiral effect going this way, upward, increasing in knowledge. That's fine, whichever way you choose to look at that. But it is, as we're honest with ourselves, there's things we don't know. And as we grow day by day in the study of the Word of God and share with others, this sharing the Word of God will help us to grow in knowledge. How many times we've seen brethren preaching in the pulpit, that these older brethren that just, you know, they're on the last leg, but boy, they have that Bible knowledge. They know these passages. They memorize these passages. They don't miss a beat. How was it that they got this way? It was through teaching and sharing the Word of God with others. That time and that memory. You say, well, I don't have enough Bible memory in my mind. I understand that. Look at me. I don't have much Bible memory in my mind. There's a lot of things I write down and stuff like that. But the more that you use it, the more that you share with it, the more you're going to retain. You don't use it, just like in our health. You don't use it, you lose it. So be about growing in the knowledge of faith. Consider, I will increase the teaching power of the local congregation if I, with others, will do this great work. I want you to consider this in the life of a church in the first century, in the church at Antioch, Syria. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and I would like for you to consider with me the verses that begin in verse 20. Verse 20 through verse 26. The scripture there reads, "But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." So this is the initial individuals that obeyed the gospel. There were brethren that went up there and done personal work amongst these Greek-speaking Jews. There was people that obeyed the gospel. And now we have enough to begin a local congregation. Now notice, the news of these things come to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And of faith. What does that mean? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He was full of faith. He knew his Bible, in other words. And now notice, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Okay, so teaching, more people was added, more people were converted. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was for a whole year that they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. Point. It's a great teaching job. Many people converted. Many people need to learn and study. There's a lot of people that need to be grounded. This church was growing. The story doesn't end here. I understand the next phrase, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That's beautiful. Now, I want to turn from there and go to chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Look with me at verses 1 through 4. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, we already know about him. Simon, who was called Niger. Lucius, the Cyrene. Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul. Now we know about him. He was brought down from Tarsus to teach there. So we have many more people that were qualified teachers, if you will, in this local work. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." And they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went out to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. As we know, the preaching trip, the first preaching trip of Paul and Barnabas. Wow. How was it that this church got to this point that they were able to send men out to other places to teach? That's because they grew. They grew from initial conversions to be able to start a local congregation. They grew, developed, grounded the church to the point that the church grew in number, and they had more teachers, and they had these men who that they could financially send out and teach and share the word of God with other people. This was a growing church. Brothers and sisters, that's what we're talking about. And it all has to do with evangelism. There's other things that's involved with this, but this is the crux, if you will, of the argument for the growth of the development of the church there in that place. And the last point for this evening, I know it's a long sermon. I can go all night on this lesson, but one more point on this. Teaching the gospel is the greatest work in all the world, the saving of a soul. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, "For what shall a man be profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Now, I know we look at this particular passage in the particular context and reasoning with people of why they should obey the gospel. And it's an excellent point, and we must use that when reasoning with people and trying to say, listen, please come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is it that we're here in this life, and if we miss heaven, we miss it all. Please obey the gospel. Please come to Jesus And that's excellent. But from the standpoint of teaching the Word of God and sharing the Word of God, we need to understand this as the crux of the argument that every person has a soul and every soul is important. My soul, your soul, the soul of our children. Our children are going to grow up and they're going to come to the age of accountability, if you will. And they too need to learn the gospel. We need to start teaching the children young at a young age about simple Bible lessons to prepare them, give them that foundation so that when they become teenagers, we can really show them the truth. And as they read their Bibles for themselves, they can know what it takes to obey the gospel and be Christians themselves. It's interesting, in Robin and I's age, we especially when we were in Bogota, these young people would come over. And I see these young people as members of the church, faithful in the Lord's service. But when we start calculating ages, these kids were younger than our children. But we see them as wonderful young people, faithful in the Lord, our brothers and sisters in Christ. These people have souls. Someone showed them enough love and respect to teach them the Word of God, and they received the Word of God. And they too want to share that Word of God with others. That's so beautiful, the love of souls. Let's look at one more passage of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 9, where Paul reasons this way: who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Brothers, sisters, it's not about how many people we put into the water. That's not what it's about. And I know some people are just focused on how many people are baptized on particular preaching trips. I'm not focused on that. If we can baptize 6, 7, 8 people, that's great. That's not what it's about. It's about teaching the Word and letting the Word of God penetrate into people's hearts. And if people are put into the water or people are grounded, no important. It is about the salvation and the building up of souls that we need to be worried about. Let's just preach the Word. Let's be honest and diligent in preaching that Word. There's many other things in this lesson. It's a long lesson, but that's okay. Please take the lesson and study it. I would like for you to notice a few things that when teaching and sharing the Word of God, you know, don't go in there acting like some type of professional or that you're so superior in your knowledge and things like that. Don't be dogmatically in sharing the Word. Reason with people. Reason with them. And look at what the Scriptures here. Don't be pushy. Don't be pushy. Don't try to represent a particular line of thought. Don't go representing your preacher. Don't repeat what I say. Repeat what God says in His Word. We must not be resentful. Maybe someone will reject what we've got to say or what. You know, don't take it personally. Don't be impatient. Remember, God gives the increase. Let a person obey the gospel as they want to obey the gospel. And parents, that includes us as parents and grandparents. Let's not push our children to the waters of baptism because we want them to be baptized. Let them be baptized because they want to obey the gospel. We want them to become a Christian because God calls them, not because I call them. Amen. Okay? Think about that. Also, consider the fact that when we go and talk to others, you know, this is not a time for politics.
Amen.
I know there are times that the politics stirs us. And it doesn't matter which side of the political realm we're at here on this. I know that, trust me, even I can get started on that. Let's not. It's not about the politics. It is not about the weather. It's not about the sports. And down in Columbia, they love their football, soccer. Here it's football, basketball. I don't care about that. And, you know, that's not why we're here to talk about. There's nothing makes me more madder than brethren getting up in the pulpit talking about the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday. Yay, that's just crazy. And people get talking about these things, you know, going fishing and sports and golf. Man, it's not about that. It's about souls of people. Yeah, I understand we need to find things in common maybe sometimes to kind of break the ice, but get away from that and reach souls. Souls are important. That's enough. It's past time, long past time. We're happy that everyone again is here. For those that are not Christians, you know, a couple years ago we was in a class or study with someone. I was a young person, and there was a young man there that was talking about, yeah, we need to do this and we need to do that. And one of the young people, a little older than I was, he said, whatever his name was, said, you need not to be worried about these things as far as teaching, sharing, doing whatever it was that the class was about. You need to obey the gospel first. You need to become a Christian. There's a place to start. And for those that are not members of the body of Christ, we need you in this good work.
Amen.
But we need you to obey the gospel. That is first. Become a Christian. And perhaps you are stirred, and I hope that you are. If you've been studying, know what it takes to become a Christian, do that tonight. Don't leave this place with your soul unprepared. Your soul is valuable to you and to everyone else, but especially to God. It is about the saving of your soul. Do you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God? Then move on that. Move on that to repent of your life, whatever it is, and make things right in every respect of what repentance requires, and make the good confession of faith that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. And then be baptized into Christ Jesus for the remission of your sins. And then live to be faithful in every aspect. Grow in the faith. Learn to be a teacher yourself. And it's going to take time, but Lord willing, God will give you that life to learn to be better and to improve your life. Brother, sister, you have something amiss in your life. Make things right. Come back to the Lord. Brother, sister, for those that are faithful, please continue to be faithful in all things. If there's anyone subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.